Off the Ball.
GAA.
We could very easily just leave Sam Maguire with the Dubs now and it'll be safe and it won't be touched by anybody else. I think that's going to happen.
Off the Ball.
GAA. Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
Time to turn to the rugby. Anna Capeless, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Can we start with cycling? You've seen sense. Is that what I've heard?
Yeah, I've turned to cycling. Darts next in.
You were going to cycle. Well, is this right? You were going to cycle to Le Mans from La Rochelle?
Yeah. Because there's, I love cycling. I kind of do it as much as I can. I've a lot of niggly injuries from running and stuff. So cycling's just so great, like on the joints and stuff. So whenever I can find time, I try and do multi-day trips. It's about 300 kilometers from La Rochelle to Le Mans. And I was going to take a few days and go, but I've had to change my plans. So I'll just have to do that another time. There's plenty like long cycles like that you can do in France that are just made up for it. So that would have been nice cycling in with my little Irish flag like before kickoff on Saturday. But alas, won't happen this time.
All right. I drove it last year and it's tough enough going in a car, Anna. So you've made the right call.
Oh, really? From La Rochelle to up to Nantes.
Yeah. So it's a long and winding road. As this Six Nations is going to be. So it all kicks off obviously this weekend. Wales and Scotland at the Arms Park tomorrow. Italy, England on Sunday. But obviously the one that we're talking about is France, Ireland, Le Mans. So six straight losses to France. We had the 53-3 in Cork last year. People remember the Nicola Friday interview after the game. Players have been talking now about like a really good block of preparation. They've had the success of the WXV in Dubai last year, the Celtic Challenge Games. What are your expectations, and if we can kick off that way in relation to Ireland for this game and for the tournament?
Yeah, I think this part of the year, which is the block of prep for Six Nations, is always very positive. Like, you know, same last year, same when I played. It's always the same. It has to be. You know, you have to be working hard, you know, have your standards high and like belting the crap out of each other in training, which I'm assured they've been doing. And like, it feels really good. The prep always feels really good. And I remember that as a player, like feeling really good. And then kind of on reflection being like, how did we feel so good when actually it ended up being so tough? But I'm not trying to take away from like, obviously you need to be positive. You need to prepare in that way. I'm still optimistic, not naively, more hopefully, like optimistic for this side. Like I don't, the bar is low for this side. A performance would be a good result as opposed to any win, like against France. If they could manage to squeeze a bonus point, if they could deny France a bonus point in France, like that would be a real achievement. I just want to see Ireland like put together some nice phases, hold on to the ball and attack, kick tactically, like put France under pressure. Like if France are running in tries, like they're not easy. You know, they're like, they've been pushed. They've been like, they've been put under pressure and they've been made work to get any score. Like even if they opt to take some penalties because they're just kind of so frustrated with Ireland's defence, like I'd be happy with that.
What are the things that give you a reason to be hopeful?
First of all, I feel like last year when we were looking at, we have had so many new caps in Ireland over the last like couple of seasons. And you know, last year we had like Sive McGrath coming into the front row 18. There was all this talk around that. And then it was just such a difficult project to, because the front row, you know, is just such a tough place. We've got a young 18-year-old winger coming in, Katie Corrigan, who's earning her first cap. Like, I feel like the wing is a little bit more of a protected place to get your first cap than the front row. Saying that, like, obviously France will have identified that and they'll be testing her, but she's done really well. She's obviously proved herself, like, in training as well as in the Celtic Challenge. We'll talk about the Celtic Challenge later. But I just think, like, in terms of like how they're, you've got a Dowlach man back, first of all. It's annoying that Sam Monaghan just isn't, she hasn't been past fit. So this co-captaincy that they had in WXV, which works really well for the team, we don't get to see that in Six Nations. That's a bit disappointing, but glad that Sam Monaghan is being looked after and she's recovering well. So we've got a Dowlach man back. We've got experience in the squad now, like girls who've been there before, as opposed to really, really green girls coming into the Six Nations last year who just would have had no idea of what this level was like. Now they know. So even if, you know, I'm not optimistic for a win, I'm optimistic that there'll be a little bit more of glue stuck together. And I've heard good things. I've heard really smart things. I've heard, that's what I'm optimistic for, is just us to, you know, be like, okay, do you know what? I can see where we're going now. That's the optimism I have.
Yeah. And I think coming from the bar, as you said, from last year, we scored 25 points. We conceded 192. The bar is very low. There's been a huge amount of talk about the empowerment of the group by Scott Berman, and a lot of praise. Kathleen mentioned a bit earlier in relation to Declan Danaher and the work that he's been doing. What are the things that you're hearing that are the green shoots, I suppose, that will either bear fruit now or we'll see them a little bit down the track?
It's more so that, like, first of all, if I go back to that co-captaincy thing, like, I really admired that at the time, because, you know, WXV, and bear in mind, Ireland was in WXV3, where they were, you know, they scored, you know, cricket scores on Colombia and Kazakhstan. And then in their match against Spain, they had to really kind of dig in, which actually was no harm either for the team to be, like, tested like that. But so far, like, this team only knows success under that kind of co-captaincy, and the fact that he stuck with it, like, it's not a very done thing, even though now, like, it seems to even be coming into the men's game a little bit, but co-captains, like, it's not a done thing. I actually admired that he was just like, okay, I like these two players, I think they're both capable, I see they work together, why not give them both the job? And I admired that in terms of let's try this. The other thing is, like, you know, you're talking about Declan Danaher there, but there's other, like, looking at the list of, like, staff, it's bigger than it's ever been. Like, there's so much staff there now, so many more staff, whereas, like, the staff, even when I played, it was only a few short years ago, like, some members of staff would have been doing everything. Like, the manager, for example, was also the bagman, was also the social media person, like, you know, all those individual roles have been broken down now and delegated. Like, that's brilliant. And also another kind of interesting point is that, like, Sam Monaghan's actually traveling with the team this weekend, even though she's not playing. Like, that shows that wouldn't have been the case before. Like, it just shows a bigger commitment, like a bigger budget, a bigger plan. It looks really good from now. The test is, and again, going back to what I was saying there about, like, the prep for Six Nations always being so positive and us enjoying it so much, the test is when the tough results come in, which they inevitably will, how does the group stick together? How do they come across? How do they continue to perform? Are there, like, divisions between the team, the management, the media, the public? Or is it all, are we all going to be clear on what our mission is? Like, that's a... that we don't know that yet. Nobody actually knows that yet. So, you know, that's going to be the real test.
The graph over the last 2 years is interesting. Obviously, the failure with regards to qualifying for the World Cup is so well publicised. But even just within the Six Nations, it's been interesting to see going from two wins two seasons ago to nothing last year, which was maybe a low ebb that some people would have predicted, but was also pretty shocking when it happens. That 12-month development in particular, and that downward spiral, have you seen enough evidence, or maybe have you heard enough coming from the camp to suggest that the reasons why that spiral happened have been addressed, and potentially hoping for one win, two wins in this year's Six Nations is not unreasonable?
I think it's difficult because, you know, I do feel like Scott Beamond did his homework in terms of his, like, select... as much as the selection he could extend, you know, he picked some new players from the Premiership. He found some kind of new kind of players that weren't being earmarked at all and brought them into camp. But there are players still on contract that he didn't select. So he hasn't selected his own final like group of players yet, I find, because he's still working with that group of players that was almost kind of handed to him. So I don't think it's been, I don't think he's had the chance to fully address that yet. Because he's made the changes he's been able to, but also there's a lot more he could do, like whether he'll eventually extend an invitation to Cliona Maloney is a bit of an interesting kind of talking point. But like up till now, I think he hasn't had like the full power to do exactly what he wants.
Why isn't that happening? I was looking at that during the week and I can't quite get my head around it. She's obviously been frustrated, as it feels like I'm not quite getting to the exact tone of what it's been like for her over the last few years, but it feels like she's been punished for events of the past that have nothing to do with him. Like, why isn't she just back in?
There are people still in there that were there when that involved that confrontation with Cliona. So if and when they leave that and that changes, then we'll know why. But I don't really know. Like, it's very clear how informed she is, how well she's playing, how valuable she would be for the team. I don't know what Scott Beaman's dealings have been with Cliona. Like, I don't know. I'd like to guess, but there's no point in me guessing because that just starts like rumours, and rumours aren't that helpful. Like, so
you would hope, Anna, that like, it doesn't feel like it's been the case, but like a new coach comes in and like it felt like Greg McWilliams was in a pretty unenviable position, probably in the same sort of thing with having to ultimately deal with the people that are running the union around making his selections. But you would just have hoped when a new coach came in, it was like, right, blank canvas here. You choose whoever you need to choose and we're going to crack on to try and get the best result we can. Like, if that's not exactly the conversation that's happening, then that's a little bit disappointed before you even begin.
Yeah, but it's still the same people running the union. So I'm sure there was a compromise, but it's still the same people in charge. So if it was a problem for Greg McWilliams, then it's obviously a problem for the same coach. For the new coach, the same problems for the new coach. Mm. That's me hazarding a guess, which is, you know... kind of the only guess that can be made, really. I don't know what else can we say about it. Like, yeah. Let's see if that personnel changes, will Cliona be invited back in?
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. The only conversation that can be broadcast, maybe might be a better way to put it. Talk to us a bit about the obviously a couple of sevens players, Bevan Parsons, Eve Higgins, particularly back in. I was put to one of the players during the week about whether this was like a destabilising thing potentially, and they were like, no, absolutely not. This is like, we want to get the best players on the pitch. That's your view as well, is it?
Yeah, it all depends on how it's managed. It wasn't always managed really well. So I think, like, and you know, if you look at the three players, like three brilliant players, like I think they're, you know, there's a lot of excellent sevens players, but you've got three there that have been like, you know, raised through 15s rugby. They know the 15s game really well. Like Bevan, like, you know, she was such a young hope for the 15s game. And then, you know, has been playing more sevens. Exact same with Eve. We didn't see much of Aveen before she went across to seven. So I'm really excited to see her kind of spread her wings a little bit more for Ireland. It's interesting that these were the three players picked. I don't know if you were getting three, why didn't they pick more? Or are they conscious of the kind of imbalance that might happen if those sevens players are withdrawn? Like that's good then, in my opinion. If they are conscious and trying to keep the numbers low, if it's managed right, as in if the communication with the players is honest and encouraging, like I do feel like when before, like historically, it's been a bit of a, they were used as almost like a threat, like, oh, the sevens players are coming in, you better watch your back, almost, was kind of like the message that was given out to us at times in the 15s group, which is awful because that's, you know, that's got nothing to do with the players and everyone has to take the opportunity that's given to them. But it was it was mismanaged at times, and it made things very difficult, which then made it seem like there was this division. But from what the players are saying, it seems to have been managed really well. Those girls know the sevens girls know the 15 squad really well. So I think it's something that could work. And if you look at Eve Higgins, like Eve Higgins and Aoife Dalton now in the centre, I'm really excited to see them this weekend, like especially up against like Gabrielle Vernier and Condé, like who also plays sevens. So Eve will know her really well. Like she'll have no fear. A lot of these young players, like they won't know what it will be like to go and play in France, even though Le Mans isn't like typically, you know, your Toulon or your Clermont or your rugby town, like it's still France's, you know, still France's backyard, and it's an exciting venue to go somewhere new. But Eve, for example, is one of the players that'll be no like water off her back. She won't mind that at all. She'll be relishing this like opportunity. I'm excited to see that. Like, and Aoife Dalton as well has really nailed down her centre starting place. So yeah, and Aveen and Nicole Fowley, like that's a combo we haven't seen. I'm excited to see how it works.
How good are France at the moment, Anna?
They have a good few injuries. Drouin, who, like, very frustratingly, she hasn't played, but she's out for the rest of the tournament. We thought we'd get to see her back. Her last involvement with France was missing the kick to get to the World Cup final in the last minute of the semi-final in 2021. World Cup, if you remember that. And she hasn't been there since. So that's disappointing. But they still have, like, they have the Roman and Marine Ménager, like Socha, Vernier, like Bourdon Sansus, like they still are very, like, very capable. They have a young captain, which I find interesting. You know, they've got new management as well. Gaëlle Mignot, former player for France, like she's gone in as one of the coaches. She was around for WXV. That was her first outing, kind of similar to Ireland in their trajectory of like where their new management and players, etc. So this young captain is interesting, but they were terribly inconsistent down in WXV1, where they beat the Black Ferns and then they lost to Australia and Canada. So they're obviously on their own kind of journey, but I'm sure, like, without overlooking the challenge of Ireland, like they do want a Grand Slam showdown against England in Bordeaux at the end of the tournament. Now they have, I've read a good bit of stuff from them, and you know they're not looking towards that yet, but and they, you know, they're very focused on Ireland. So like, let's see how consistent they can be, which seems to be their biggest challenge. But you know, I read something interesting as well, is that they had a training camp a couple of weeks ago, like before the whole squad came together. The forwards just had a set piece training camp, like just the forwards went in together, however many of them there were, 18 or 20 of them or something, just for set piece. So when the whole squad came together, the set piece was ready to go. I thought it was brilliant. I've never heard of that before. I've obviously heard of like forward sessions and forwards having to do a little bit extra, like while in camp or whatever, but getting your set piece nailed on, nailed down before the whole squad comes together, I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, very good idea. With regards to the tournament as a whole, obviously England are going for six in a row at this stage, I think it is. John Mitchell is the head coach, and there is this looming thing about being host of the World Cup next year. 10 years on from the men having an absolute disaster in front of their own fans with regards to the World Cup, do you get a sense from having conversations, not necessarily with English players or anything like that, that this will just be a hugely pressurised 18 months for that England team because they are so favoured to win this year's Six Nations, probably next year's Six Nations, and will more than likely be favourites in front of their own home fans with a new, shiny head coach appointment who's caused, I don't want to say controversy, but there were some people who say maybe it wasn't the right appointment at that moment.
Yeah, they're probably saying that because they're, you know, so used to how it was. But it's probably no harm. Like, the thing is, they had an incredibly dominant approach to the last World Cup and then ended up losing in the final. Like, you need something a bit different. You need a different angle here to make sure, like, they have got to win the next World Cup. Sorry, now I know I'm adding to that pressure, but they have to. I'm not sure how good it was for rugby that the Black Ferns actually ended up winning. Like, they were brilliant. Oh my God, it was one of the best games of rugby I've ever seen, that final. But I really wanted to, as many others did, after the last, after the World Cup, I wanted England to win so we could say, right, this is how it's done. Look at their league, look how they manage it, look at their investment. Like, that's how it should be done. Whereas the Black Ferns, like, my goodness, their union hasn't been exactly lauded for how they've treated women's rugby. Even now, they're still having, like, controversy around how they're managing their leagues, etc. But England, like, you look at the team, you know, I'd almost want them to kind of stumble at some stage to learn some lessons and learn how to apply themselves to a losing situation or an almost losing situation, so that if that pressure comes on in the final next year, or just throughout the World Cup, you know, banking on that they get to the final in their backyard, will they come across some kinds of challenges? And then you look at the team they name, and my God, they are the best players in the world. Some of the best players in the world. Most of those positions are filled with the best player in that position in the world right now. It's just a phenomenal team. And the competitiveness they have within their own squad is what keeps that going. They never get bored, you know. There's no question of them being, like, a little bit complacent or whatever. Like, even though you could argue maybe that that's how they found themselves in against Ireland last year in Cork, because they didn't, like, have the blowout result that the people were expecting. It's down to Ireland as well, and they pushed them really hard. But I just think they're a phenomenal side. And will it be, like, from now, a complete run through to winning the World Cup in Twickenham next year? Like, it looks likely. But I love if France beat them in Bordeaux at the end of Six Nations. I'd love that. That'd be the best.
Safe travelling. We'll catch up with you a bit over, hopefully, over the next few weeks. Enjoy the game.
Thanks a million. I'll talk to you soon.
Off the Ball
Breakfast with Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partners of the Gaelic Players Association and Leinster Rugby.